before you get to the physical food. Amen. Now, as much as I like physical food, because, you know, food is good. I like food. Can't you tell? But I know there's some food from heaven. Amen. That won't fill my body, but it'll definitely feed my soul. Amen. Amen. So I want to say hello to our guests. We have the shepherds among us, Dr. Shepherd, and certainly Pastor Shepherd. We thank you for your presence. Amen. And we have a number of other guests, and I'm not going to get in trouble calling people's names, because then somebody going to turn around and say, how come you didn't call my name? And so I'm not going to call no names. I'm just going to say, welcome, welcome, welcome. All right. Now, as you stand to your feet, hopefully you have your Bible with you. And if you have your Bible with you, like I said, we've been in the book of Romans. We are in chapter 2, and we will read verses 6 through 10. If you have your Bible with you, wave it in the air. And those of you who don't, man, that man is working that Bible. If you don't, shame on you. Shame on you. You can't tell the players without a program. Amen. Amen. And so we certainly miss Sister Phyllis. I will drop her name. Some of y'all, at least y'all, you know, if you didn't have your Bible, you can kind of cheat and look on the screen. But, you know, so you're going to have to turn to your right or to your left and kindly ask the soul that is next to you to share with you their Bible, their audio file, whatever they got going on. Amen. Their phone, their iPad. Okay, I sound good now. Their phone, their iPad, and just share with them the living word of God. Amen. Amen. If nothing else, you'll be able to say at least he read the verse. All right. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. You're in good voice. And it reads on this wise, who will render each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let us go to God in prayer. Father God, we come to you now in prayer. Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to come into the house of prayer just one more time. Lord, we don't deserve it, and certainly we didn't deserve it last night when we laid down last night and went to bed. But Lord, you saw fit to wake us up to see another day which was not promised to us, and you put it in our hearts to come this way one more time. We ask, Father God, that whatever it is that we're in need of, Father, give that to us. Lord, if we need to be encouraged, encourage us. If we need to be exhorted, exhort us. If we need to be saved, Father, let us receive your Son and be saved. Oh, Father God, I ask that you draw in my wandering mind, that you think with my mind and speak with my mouth, that the words of my mouth might be acceptable in thy sight, oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I ask, Father God, that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, speak through me. Use me. Lord, I come as your humble vessel. Lord, I know I'm raggedy, but Lord, I know that I can do all things through you if I would just simply submit myself. So I come submitting myself, all of myself, my heart, my mind, my soul unto you, asking, Father God, that you would use me as a vessel for your word. Now, Father God, these and all other things we ask and do pray in Jesus' mighty name. And we all do say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And just for a few moments of our time together, we want to talk about God will judge your deeds. God will judge your deeds. Now, before I go much further, I know that Most of you have kind of been with me through our journey here through Romans. We began in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And there Paul has a, and so if what I want to do is kind of lay this foundation and then ease my way into what it is that we want to talk about today. Amen. Because sometimes we get so caught up in the pieces that sometimes we miss the overview, the survey, if it will. And so here Paul is writing a letter to Romans, to the church at Rome. And as he's writing this letter, he exhorts them. He tells them, man, as much as I would, I want to be there with you, but the best I can do right now is this here letter. And, you know, you can understand that, right? Because sometimes you can't get to where you really want to get to. So many of us today, we don't necessarily write a letter, but what do? We pick up the phone. And so we'll pick up the phone, and so, but they didn't have a phone back in the day. They just didn't have a phone back in the day, and back in Paul's day, you know, y'all remember princess house phones. They didn't even have a princess house phone. But what they did have was a quill pen and papyrus paper. And so what Paul does is he takes quill pen to papyrus paper and begins to write a letter to the church at Rome to encourage them, to exhort them, to let them know that, you know what, I want to be there with you. But since I can't be there with you, here is my letter. And so, matter of fact, all it really is really just his love letter to the church at Rome. And so the thing is, especially when we love somebody, we want to give them a good news. And so this is all that Paul is doing at this point, is that he wants to give them good news. But the thing is, before I give you good news, I got to give you the bad news. And see, and that way the good news gets gooder if gooder. You know how I say gooder? Good. You know, you can do that as a preacher. You can make up words. But the good news gets gooder, especially when you know how bad it is. If you realize where you are and where you are is bad, because, you know, some people don't realize how bad is. Amen. Some people just running around and just don't realize that, you know, you in a bad situation. I remember a story my mom used to tell us. She said, I never knew that I was poor until I left home and went among other people. You know, she was good as long as she was at home with her parents. She was happy wearing a gunny sack dress. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all may not know what a gunny sack is. There you go. Talk to Sister Lawson. She'll tell you. She raised her hand. Thank you. Y'all are really Black Baptists. You will talk back to the pastor. But she didn't know how bad she was. She didn't know that she was even poor. She got up every morning. Her mama was there. Her daddy was there. There was breakfast on the table. It wasn't a lot, but it was breakfast. And then they would have a good time with each other. They would work together, play together. And all the time they had it bad, but they did not know how bad it was until she left home and saw other folk. I just came by to let you know that there are some who are living in sin, don't realize how bad it is because they haven't been told that where they are is bad. Some people think it's okay just to have a fight every night. Some people think it's okay to ball up your fist and sock and fight people. Some people just think it's okay, you know, load up your gun, hop in your car, ride down the street, let go a couple of bullets. Some people think that's okay. Why? Because there no one has told them about the goodness of Jesus Christ. No one has given them hope. And let me tell you, if you got hope, you can do some things. Hope will move you from hopelessness to a future. Hope will move you from when you gave up to you won't give out. Hope will move you in such a way that you what you didn't have before, you have now, and you can see that you got a future. Hope will give you a future. That is what Paul is writing here. Paul is writing to them and telling them that here is a letter. Yeah, my letter starts off bad, but hold on and hold out. Wait till we get to about chapter 3, verse 21, because through chapters 1, 2, and most of 3, Paul is letting us know how bad it is, how bad it is to be an unrepentant soul, how bad it is not to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And so through chapter 1, Paul begins to tell us that unrepentant souls do things that are not wise to themselves, how they engage into self-destructive behavior, how they will do that and then encourage others in that behavior. Why? Because most of them don't know no better, but there are a group of souls who know better, who should know better, but they do evil anyway. Warning. And then on top of that, you know, it's bad if you're just doing bad by yourself and you know you're doing bad by yourself. But there's a group of folk who don't want to do bad by themselves. They got to have some help. They got now, wait a minute. They ain't looking for help. They just looking for participants. You know, a friend of mine wanted to go someplace, but they said, well, they wasn't going to go because they didn't have nobody to go with them. I said, well, don't you want to go? They said, I ain't got nobody to go with me, so I ain't going. Well, obviously, you don't want to go that bad. Evil folk don't care. They know they going. They just want something. They just don't want to go by themselves. And we hear this all the time, don't we? When people will say things like, I'd be glad to go to hell. I'm like, well, why would you want to go to hell? Because that's where all my friends are. But with that kind of thinking, they don't care anything about themselves. And so if they don't care anything about themselves, they certainly don't care anything about you. But Paul here in his letter, he's basically like a doctor. He is making a diagnosis and he's telling them, this is the symptoms of the unrepentant soul. And as long as you're an unrepentant soul, the wrath of God, you risk receiving the wrath of God. But because God loves us so much, he's made a way of escape. But before I tell you about the way of escape, I got to tell you how bad your situation is. And isn't that just like any doctor, right? The doctor might have a cure, but the doctor's got to let you know that you're going to go through this and you're going to go through that. You're going to have some hurts and some pains. This thing is going to take you some places where you didn't want to go. You will be short of breath. You'll have lesions. I don't know. But the doctor will give you the worst case scenario so that when he gives you the good news, you're going to say, well, what we waiting for? Let's do it right now. But don't you know there's some folk, even after they've heard the diagnosis, even though they know that there is a cure, they'd be like, well, that's fine. I'm just happy being sick and dying. Don't laugh, because it's true. I ain't talking about nobody here, right? Ain't nobody here ever been to the doctor and the doctor said that you had something going on. And he said, well, here's these pills. Go and get these pills and take these pills and you're going to be well. And then, you know, not you, right, but somebody else. You know, after the doctor then gave you the diagnosis, after the doctor has told you to go get these pills, you like, well, them pills cost too much. I'm going to go and get that stuff. I'm going to call Aunt Sally in Louisiana because I know they got something that they can kind of like put together, you know, something with some baking soda on it or chicken and, you know, wrap it up in some, you know, grape leaves or something and, you know, just put it on there and then you, right? And then you wondering why you're not, and then you wondering why you're not getting better. Because the medicine that you were supposed to take, you refused to take. Here, Paul, when he writes the letter, he begins to tell them here in where we are now in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Verses 1 through 5, he has told us that God says that God will judge you. You will be judged, whether sinner or saint. There's going to be a time when you're going to be called to account. God will judge you. You'll either be judged at the great white throne or you'll be judged at the bema seat of Christ. But either way, you're going to be judged. There's a judgment a coming. Why? Because he's God and he created you. Now, I don't know about y'all. Matter of fact, last week I talked about the lawnmower, right? You wouldn't go out and buy a lawnmower that wouldn't cut. Matter of fact, you'd go out there. Now, it probably wouldn't cut because if it was me, right, and I put it together wrong. But let's just assume that I put it together correctly. right? I'm pulling the thing and it won't cut. What am I going to do with that lawnmower? I'm going to go get another lawnmower. I'm already put gas in it. But I'm going to go get a lawnmower that work. Amen. Well, what am I going to do with that lawnmower that don't work? I'm going to take it back or I'm going to get rid of it. That's all that God is saying. I have created you for a specific purpose. I have created man to give me worship, to give me praise for my purposes. I didn't create you to go out and do what you want to do, how you want to do it, and where you want to do it. That's all on your idea. I didn't create you for that. And then you wondering why your way don't work. He didn't create you to do things your way. He created you to do things the way that he has called you to do them. And here you are trying, and here you are, you know, you get that Job attitude. You know, you go to, you know, it's like, well, you know, I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. I've done everything that you want me to do. I mean, Lord, I don't understand. And so the Lord turns around and he asks Job questions like, where were you? What heaven and what earth have you created? Where were you when I spoke it all into creation? Where were you, Job? And then Job realizes, I'm sorry, Lord. I have no business talking to you about things that are too great and wonderful for me. But here in chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, God not only makes it known that he will judge us, but he will judge our deeds. See, when he judges our deeds, he ain't just going to, you know, kind of guess at it. Because, you know, when we talk about he'll open up the books, and some of y'all probably, nobody in here, but some of y'all got some book. He probably, you know what, he probably had to go from books to microfiche. Because some of y'all, nobody in here, but some of y'all probably got stuff that way back in the day. You know, it's like we got to go back and then keep writing. And the Bible says the books will be open. In Revelation, it says that the books will be open. The books will be open. And see, back in the day, all they knew was books. So let me get you up to the 21st century. It probably ain't going to be books. It's going to probably be live screen TV. And everything that you've done from knee high to where you are now on the screen. And you imagine how many times he'd have to stop it and say, okay, now you did this, right? Yeah. And you won't be able to deny it, right? Because it's going to be you. His judgment is going to be on the individual. Here in verse 6, it says, who will render? God will render to each one according to his deeds. God will render to each one. That each one is almost like whosoever. It covers you and everybody else, but each one. And then it's not going to be like you're going to be able to throw him off. Because sometimes what we'll do is, you know, when we get confronted, all of a sudden, we start pointing fingers. We start, you know, like, well, yeah, I did it, but he did it worse than me. Now, and whenever we point a finger, there are three other fingers that point back at me. So no matter how bad he's been or she's been, I've probably been twice as bad. We don't count the thumb. The thumb is the thumb. We got three fingers that point right back at us. God judges the individual's deeds. You know, and that might explain why that some people, we talked about how game knows game. Yeah. How, you know, I was once an alcoholic, so I can point out an alcoholic. And how oftentimes we're harder on others who have been caught doing what it is that we used to do. And some of y'all still doing. Nobody in here, right? Because, you know, we all living sinless. You know, none of us have any sin. Not in here. At least not talking to the pastor. But you got sin. You just simply sin less. We all have an issue. You know, now we say we have an issue. You know, we talk about, oh, well, you know, we get in a conversation. We say, well, that's another story. That's another story for another Oprah. Thank you, Sister Evans. That's another story for another Oprah. You know, why? Because we're already talking about one issue I already have. All of a sudden, we done ran into another issue. And I said, I ain't got time to talk about that one. I ain't finished talking about my last issue. Some of us got multiple issues. Oh, yeah. And so when we picking on one person on one thing, we got like three other things going on in home. I ain't talking about nobody here, right? Because everybody home here is pristine, right? You ain't sinning at home, and if you are, keep it at home. You know, what happens, though, is that not everything that stays in Vegas, that happens in Vegas, stays in Vegas. You know, some of that stuff gets televised and some of that stuff gets transmitted. And the only way that you could really keep a secret is basically you can't tell nobody. But God knows. And when you stand before him, he will judge you on your deeds. We ain't got no business. You ain't got time to be criticizing anybody else. You ain't got no time or you really have no, you shouldn't be spending any effort trying to help somebody get a speck out of their eye while you got this giant beam in your own. You know, you see their issue, but the fact of the matter is everybody sees your glaring issue. And so you have the utter audacity to talk about somebody else, and your life is just as, if not more so, raggedy than theirs. You're going to be judged on your deeds. God is not going to be misdirected. He's not going to be thrown off by because you're accusing somebody else. He's when the books get open, them going to be your books. He's not going to say, this is Stan, well, I'm judging you today. Here, let me take Brother Marshall. Oh, Brother Marshall, what's Brother Marshall's book doing here? It ain't going to be one of those. He's going to open up my books, and he's going to judge me on what I did. If you would take the time to simply judge yourself, you may not have to be judged by God. Not only will God judge an individual's deeds, his judgment is independent. Verse 7, it says, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. When we stand before God, he ain't going to need to make up anything. Truth of the matter is that the truth is what's going to hurt you. Because oftentimes they say, well, truth is stranger than fiction. I know if you could write down some of the crazy truths that have happened to you, people wouldn't believe it. That's right. You know, I'm not going to ask what has happened to you. I simply know that if you live life long enough, you've been involved in some crazy stuff. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not going to ask you for it because sometimes, you know, like I say, they say that a confession is good for the soul, but bad for the reputation. Right. And truly, since I'm not a priest, I'm not Catholic, and neither are you. There's no need for me to know what it is that you've done, but know this, God knows. Yes, he does. And he knows it all. He knows why you did what you did, how you did what you did, and where you did what you did. The books that will be open will be your books. And you know what? It won't be, and he won't even get it confused. You know, like sometimes what people would do, nobody in here, because you notice how many times I've said nobody in here? I want you to come back. But, you know, I ever noticed that when like I was a young police officer and I'm writing tickets, right? I didn't care who I wrote a ticket to. I don't care. I'm just writing the ticket because the man said, my boss, my sergeant said, Evans, you need some tickets. Go write them tickets. So I ain't looking to take folk to jail. I'm just looking to write the ticket, right? So if I pulled you over and you gave me a name and it wasn't necessarily your name, I really didn't care. Hold on, I'm going somewhere. And you messed around and gave me your brother's name or your sister's name. Notice how I said brother or sister. Because there's some folk running around. You know there are people out there that will use their own family's name to get out of trouble. all of a sudden, your brother or your sister has used your name on this ticket. Officer Evans don't know no better and really don't care. I just need you to sign hard 3 copies. After you sign real hard 3 copies, I've got your brother's information on this thing. You know you ain't going to pay it, and your brother don't know that you got this ticket. So here the thing done gone to warrant, which basically means that now they want you. It done gone to warrant. Now, it could be any other officer out there. He don't care. His sergeant done told him, you need to make some arrests today. So here he goes. He pulls over your brother or your sister. He runs them. He says, you got a warrant for your arrest. You'd be like, no, no. He says, yes, yes. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in the back of a police car making your way over to men's consensual jail. Why? Because somebody used your name and got you in trouble. See, it don't work that way with God. God knows you. God knows, and matter of fact, he gonna get you for using your brother or your sister's name on that ticket. How you gonna feel when it comes up in 3D and in color, and it won't be no mumbling or anything? You gonna be speaking, even if you did mumble, it's gonna come out. Even what your thoughts and your intents were at the time that you did it, don't you know that God already knows? And the only person that's gonna be sitting there looking like, is you. God does not make mistakes. God cannot be thrown off. You can't give God a bad name and he can't find you. Oh, no, he know you. He know where you live. He know where you've been. He know where you're going. And hopefully, if you believed in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll ding you for the deed, but he won't send you to hell. Yeah. Amen. This is the promise that God makes, is that he'll judge you independently. And he says he'll bestow eternal life on the saint who will not weary in well-doing. See, that's what we say here when we says patient continuance in doing good. That patient continuance in doing good is simply you not getting tired of doing good. Doesn't mean that every good that you attempt to do will go well, because sometimes we'll do stuff and it just don't go well. But praise be unto God. God looks beyond what it is that we have done and looks at the intent behind it. People cannot always see your intention when you do some things. You know, have you ever been sincere but been sincerely wrong? Your heart, you didn't mean to hurt them. You didn't mean to cause what had happened. But my intention was not to hurt you or cause you harm. If anything, it was the exact opposite. I was doing what I was doing out of a sense that I was helping you. And then come to find out that I wasn't helping you, I was hurting you. And I didn't mean to do that. But you know what? We just like anybody else, when our feelings get hurt, when our feelings get involved, when you think that somebody did something to you on purpose, are you likely to forgive that person? Just say yes, I know, because you all good Christians, right? We don't hold or harbor any unforgiveness in our heart. Matter of fact, we don't nurse it as though it's, you know, something that needs to grow, right? I mean, we don't rehearse it time and time again and so that it finds a place in our heart. We forgive and let things go. But not everybody's like that. Sometimes we have to be reminded that we have all fallen short, that we've all come short of the mark. But praise be unto God. God looks at the why and not so much as how successful you've been. If you seek to do good, if you seek to be honorable, and because you seek these things, God says, I'll give you immortality. That's the reward for the effort. No, it's not salvation by works. You're not saved by your works. But because you are saved, you ought to be about some kind of work. That's how come I tell people all the time, I ain't looking for you to be successful. I'm just looking for you to put in some work. I ain't looking for you to save the whole world. I just need you to walk down the street to the corner and just say something to somebody about a Jesus who's able to save anybody. I'm not looking for you to overturn rocks and pull up gold. I'm just looking for you to what? Possibly even move a mountain. I'm just looking for you to what? To do what it is you've been called to do. Not only will he judge the individual's deed, not only will he judge you independently, but then his judgment will fall on the unrepentant. He says, but those of you who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey righteousness and indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. God will reward you for your deeds. Yes, now, rewards ain't necessarily always good. Amen. You under the assumption that every time you get a reward, it's a good thing. Well, no, let me put it to you this way. Every action has a consequence. See, every action has a consequence. Some of them are consequences are good consequences, right? You do something good, find a wallet, turn it in. The guy says, thank you. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you the money that's in the wallet simply because you returned the wallet. But then there are consequences for not doing the right thing. There are rewards for, and we make it sound like rewards are good things. No, reward is just simply what you receive for what it is that you've done. Maybe you decided to keep the wallet. Maybe you decided to keep the money in the wallet. Maybe you decided to go to Target and use the credit card that you found inside the wallet. Now that you've used the credit card inside the wallet, don't you know that when you go to Target, there are, you know, cameras in Target. And so if your purchase is large enough and the person's reported it stolen, guess what? Who's going to be at your house? The reward for your actions. There is a consequence for your actions. God makes it plain and lets each and every one of us know judgment is coming. And it foolish is the person who knows that judgment is coming, but yet doesn't do anything about it. God, it's like the guy who says, I'm gonna punch you. I'm gonna punch you in your nose. But I'm not gonna punch you in I'm gonna punch you in your nose, but I'm not gonna do it today, but I'm gonna punch you in your nose. And every time he sees you, I'm gonna punch you. I'm gonna punch you in your nose. And maybe he takes about a month before he actually punches you in the nose. And then you look at him like, why did you punch me in the nose? And he says, I told you I was going to punch you in the nose. I never told you when. God is the same way. He tells us, I'm going to judge you. 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 I'm going to judge the righteous, and I'm going to judge the unrighteous. But I'm going to judge you. But no man knows the hour. No man knows the time. So if you know that I'm going to judge you and you know that there's a way out of the judgment, wouldn't it just be smart to say, I know that this is coming and prepare for it? Amen. Look, I'm going to ask the question. I know most of him. How many of y'all live here in California? Most of the hands go, yeah, this is participatory. You can raise your hand. Most of us live here in California. So how come you don't have your earthquake kit? How come you don't have your earthquake insurance? You live in California. Some of us didn't live through how many earthquakes? 3, maybe 4, right? I'm talking about big ones because we get an earthquake every day. Amen. We get an earthquake every day. But how many got earthquake insurance? How many have a earthquake kit? Matter of fact, who lived back east? Okay, so even back east, they have what, tornadoes, right? Flooding, right? How many of them people actually have shelters? How many have flood insurance? I would think that if you live in New Orleans, you would have flood insurance, right? But I bet you dimes and dollars, there's a lot of folk who ain't. That is, if they'll even sell it to you. Because they in New Orleans, you know it will flood. I think me and the last time that me and my wife went down there, right, the day before, the day we got there, it rained real bad. And matter of fact, it rained so bad, the alligators was walking in the street. I'm like, baby, we need to go home. I could deal with earthquakes, but I ain't dealing with the alligators that are walking on the street. It's just time to go. So we turned around and we went to Houston, which is probably not as bad, but they get floods there too. But the point is that if you know that you live in a floodplain area, if you know that you live in a earthquake-prone area, you prepare yourself for those eventualities. Amen? So if you know that at some point, some great getting up morning, God is going to call your name and he is going to judge you on the deeds that you've done, you need to be about your father's business. If he ain't your father yet, you need to make him your father now. God says and makes a way of escape for us. He tells us that judgment will fall on the unrepentant, those who will not obey the truth, those who will, but in turn, obey unrighteousness. They know that God is good, but they don't care because they love their sin. They enjoy their sin. They're locked into their sin, so they don't want to get out of their sin. There are some who know that they are going to receive the wrath of God, but do not care, will not acknowledge God as God, will not give him worship or praise. They don't care. They will turn their backs on him and find others to grab and say, man, just turn this way. Don't look at that fella. He keep telling, you know, I know he say he God, but just turn your back and just keep on doing what we doing. Come on, have some more drinks and have some more smoke. We gonna be all right. But God says, you can turn your back if you want to. I'm going to turn you around and get your mind right. Judgment is coming. Amen. And it doesn't matter whether you're black, white, green, yellow, or purple. There's only two types of people that God identifies. It's not Jew or Greek, but it's saved and unsaved. It's sinner or saint. Yes, sir. It's sheep or goats. And both will be judged, but only one will be judged on their sins. And those are the unrepentant. But those who have believed in their heart, those who have confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. And that's all I've come by to let you know this morning is that not only will God judge you, he'll judge you on your deeds. And his judgment will be on you, the individual. His judgment is independent. In other words, nobody else but you. And then his judgment will fall on the unrepentant. But I've come by to let you know, and the songwriter has said, just ask the Savior to help you, to comfort, strengthen, and keep you. For he is willing to aid you, and he will carry you through. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. The word of God has gone forward and is doing those things that God has purposed them to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of him. We just said, and it is plain as it is in the text. And I don't believe I went outside the text. I believe I properly exegeted the text, nor did I do any eisegesis.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But the text says this, you will be judged. Yes.